By the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show and I'm Tim Fuel, bringing you more from the world of Non-League Football than you ever knew you needed to know. Swampy has taken to his sick bed again and we wish him all the best in recovering properly this time. But I am joined by our man with the views from the dugout, former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Hendon Harrowborough, it's Dave Anderson. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, mate. I would like to put on record that me and Swampy haven't fallen out.
Well, I'm wondering if you're the same person now.
Yeah. Because I spoke to him. Oh, I don't know. It's been a while, you know, but it seems to be where he is, I ain't, you know, and vice versa. But there is no rift, believe me. It's never has been, never will be. So get well soon, mate. It'd be nice to talk to you soon.
Now we are recording this on Wednesday evening, and hopefully everyone will get to hear this by the end of the week, but maybe not if certain media weather reports are to be believed, because the world might have ended. Have you suffered that this week, Dave?
Dad?
Dave!
this is this week's revelation on the show. as they say in Belfast, put your big coat on, you'll be fine. It's a little bit difficult for football. Obviously, I think there's going to be massive all fixtures will be off this weekend at our level, I would guess, Tim, you know. But we've had, listen, it's not the first time that's happened.
Yeah, I know. There was an interesting debate this week, certainly on Twitter, when Concord Rangers announced that they would not be travelling to Truro midweek during because of the weather warnings. And initially, Truro City suggested that the game was still on, and then after a while, they announced the postponement. But, I mean, that's the right thing, isn't it? It's a long way to travel anyway on a midweek night, but you know, with all these weather warnings, I mean, it could be even that, yes, I think someone suggested that the coach operator might not have even wanted to do the journey or for health and safety reasons. So, as you say, there's going to be a lot of games off this weekend,
yes. And I think so, you know, where Truro is, you know, that I think anyone traveling that amount, that distance, when the weather's forecast like it is, surely common sense takes place. And the league should really step in and sort of speak to the clubs early and say, look, we think even if the pitch is playable, you've got to take into consideration the journey that the opposition have to make. And to be fair, Truro the other way, if Truro are coming into London and the forecast is for to be what it is, then you would think that there shouldn't be much argument. You would hope.
You'd hope. Now, last week we covered the FA Trophy and the FA Vars, and that included Jeff Lamb at Bracknell Town. He was very upbeat when I spoke to him about the future of the club, etc. But unfortunately, they got defeated by Mask United in the FA Vars, got knocked out, and that was his last hurrah, because joint manager Paul Magrotti tweeted on Monday morning that the two of them had been sacked via email. Ever been sacked via email, Dave?
No, I haven't. That's a first. Well, that's sacked by email. That stinks of cowardice on my part. You know, that's how I read it. If I'm sacking a player, or even in my business now, if I'm getting rid of someone, I go and see them and I speak to them face to face. And every time I've had the sack, well, it's in Albans. I had a phone call. I was in my sick bed. I always remember that, being really ill and getting a phone call from the chairman. But I had no great love of him, as I've stated many times, but every other time I've been sat down and spoken to, and I've shook hands, and I've still got good relationships with the clubs that have left. I would like to put on record, it's not as many as people think it is. But by email is cowardly in my account. Get them in, speak to them.
For a man that's had a few clubs, what about the resigned, appointed as a number two and then reinstated as a number one? That's the tale and fate of Glenn Tamplin, who before Billericay Town played Wealdstone last weekend, said he would resign if they lost. So he did when they did lose to Wealdstone in the FA Trophy. He appointed his number two, Harry Wheeler, as manager. And then before their midweek abandoned game this week, he'd taken to the manager's job again until the end of the season. The statement from the club reads, "The players have insisted Glenn stay on to see the game through what has proved to be a low point for the club with three losses in four games." And then goes on to add that Harry Wheeler will be appointed team manager at the end of the season. Can you keep up with everything going on at Billericay, Dave?
I think there's two things. Well, there's probably more than two things I want to say about it. But what I would like to say before I say what I absolutely feel is, I've spoken to a couple of people who have played against Billy Rickey and Glenn Tomlin, and have said they found him to be hospitable, very pleasant, you know, and that's with people who actually had beaten him, you know, said he just came across as a nice guy. I've only ever interviewed him and read about him. So I can't, you know, and the people I spoke to didn't say it to me publicly, so I'm not going to name them. But they said he was just seemed like a genuine guy, and there was no issues at all, no big time Charlie stuff that he's been accused of. So I don't want to make that public, but I also want to say that from minute one, the fact of Glenn Tomlin doing what he's done at Billy Rickey's bad news, I think it's brilliant. I think he's gone in. The ground is unrecognizable from when I used to go there as a manager. He's paying out big bucks. He's entitled to do that if he's got it. And the people at Billy Rickey are enjoying being top of the league and getting to the quarterfinals of the trophy. And I think there's some of the regional cups as well off the top of my head. What I do think is a farce, and I've thought it from minute one, is Glenn Tomlin being the manager. I think I said as much. I said as much to him. I've never changed my opinion of that. I think that if he is genuinely wants the club to do well, then he should sit upstairs. And I would even, and you know my thoughts of a director of football, I would even, if I was him, employ a director of football that puts a buffer between him as the chairman owner and the dressing room. So I'm available for the right amount of money. But he, for me, if I was going to get him in a room, I'd say, get out of the dressing room, get in the boardroom, but get a buffer in between you and the dressing room so you're not even tempted to go in there. Because this that we've had in the last week is a continuation of nonsense all year to do with Glenn. And when I've watched interviews that he's done, he always says it's not about him. I just can't disagree strong enough. For me, the way he comes across, it is absolutely about it. It's only about him. And I think if he's got genuine hopes to take the club into the league, he needs to get himself out of that. It screams of attention seeking. And I know he'd stated a couple of months ago that he wasn't well, and he was feeling a bit of stress, and he'd come off Twitter, and I wouldn't wish ill on any man. But I would have to say he brings a bit of it on himself. Get yourself up in the director's box. Get a director of football between you that you can talk to and bang your ideas off. Let the director of football deal with who the manager is and keep yourself out of it. And I think the club would go from strength to strength, because you can't doubt the money that he's put into it. But this attention-seeking stuff, for me, get out of it. Don't do any interviews. Stay away from it. My bet is that won't happen, because that's not what he wants. It's he likes the attention. But that's me. That's me. You know me. That's my opinion from afar.
It's got to be fairly unsettling, though, for those players, isn't it? You know, who's in charge, who are they answerable to, and whether it's just a name and a title, or whether it's a reality.
Well, yeah, I would say if the players are genuine, and there's a lot of players in the dressing room, and I think that probably the vast majority of them are, then they would find it embarrassing. I also think there's a number of players in that dressing room who don't really care who the manager is, because they're getting bundles of money to be in there, and are probably performing at 60% of what they're capable of if they get the right guy in. But again, that's my opinion. I look at the squad he's got, and I think the league is over, and I think I said before the season they'd win it by bundles of points, and Charlie Caroli could manage it to win the league. So I do think that some of the lads will be a little bit, it will affect them, because they'll be embarrassed by the situation. But when you're getting paid the amount of money that they're allegedly getting paid, then they'll put Ronald McDonald outfits on and go and play.
Well, talking of Ronald McDonald, maybe that's what Hartlepool need to take over. There's another new potential consortium takeover being mooted this week. Sky's Jeff Stelling suggesting that they're still 600k short of what's needed, and with time running out, it does look like administration might be the only step forward there. And since last week's show, we've also heard more on the situation at Dulwich Hamlet via a story run in the Independent newspaper. A group headed by Rio Ferdinand, working with those who run the current club, have had a bid for the Champion Hill site turned down with by the developers, and it does sound like relationships have broken down between all parties there, leaving the club hunting for a possible alternative place to play their matches and in a rather perilous position. Again, we are in contact with all sides and trying to bring more information when we can on that one. But it's another tale of clubs falling foul of commercial agreements, shall we say?
Yes, it is, and I fear for both of them. Hartlepool, probably more so because the time's running out for them, and it'll fall down to that. And to be fair, if you've someone as high profile as Jeff Stelling involved, and they're still struggling to get in what's required, then I absolutely fear for them. The Dulwich Hamlet one again, if I remember right, Tim, we had the people in when we were at BBC London. I don't know why you remember. I'd love us to dig out that interview when the lad came in with Kevin Rye from Supporters Direct. I don't know why you remember that.
Yeah, I think the developers are similar but not the same entity, so we've got to be a little bit careful there. But we're hoping to get a statement from them. You know,
yeah.
I've always said, even under the new guys, that you know, football's at the heart of what they're trying to do.
Really?
We're not seeing those sort of sounds at the moment, though, are we?
No, well, prove it. If that's their opening statement to me, I'll be saying prove it. If you've got a group headed by someone like Rio Ferdinand, who is a local lad, and the figures that were being banded about weren't peanuts, and to be fair, the figure I heard would probably run Billericay for 6 months. No, I'm only joking. I just move on, Dave. No, I think that they need to come in and explain themselves, because to prove that they're legitimate, to prove that they're not underhanded, just trying to make bundles of money. I knew that this was a setup and a stitch up from minute one. But really, you would hope that someone could put pressure on them, or maybe Rio can get a little bit more involved, because he can certainly create attention if he wants to because of his profile. And let's smoke them out and see what they have to say for themselves.
Yeah, it must be difficult because obviously they're in that Isthmian Premier playoff zone at the moment. It's so tight, you know, that just a matter of points between, you know, several clubs there. So obviously they're trying to focus on and getting stuff done on the field, making sure that they, you know, either get automatic promotion or qualify for those playoffs. And yet they don't really know what the future holds for them come the end of the season. Well, even at the moment, you know, they've had issues as the season's gone on as well.
Yeah, and, you know, Gavin Rose has been there for a while with Junior Keddy and the rest of the staff. And, you know, I'm guessing he must be there 6-7 years off the top of my head. But I've always played football. If you want to go and see a good team in the Isthmian Premier, then they would be one of the first couple of names I would say to go and see. Great atmosphere because of the crowd that they bring in. Always promoted themselves absolutely properly and have done a great job of that side of it. So I'd have fear about all of it, because if Gavin and Junior decide they've had enough, they won't struggle to get a job, believe me. And you know, it's like a house of cards sometimes. It could fall down around you. So I would hope for everyone's sake that someone gets these parties together and resolve something for the sake of the supporters, who are excellent as well. I've won and lost over there, you know, in equal amounts, but I've never not enjoyed it.
Mm. Well, obviously, you know, the trials and tribulations of a football club, it goes north and south. So City of Liverpool FC, they look to be a step nearer getting their own ground. but even that's not quite as they'd hoped to it being within the city's boundaries. It's actually the other side of the road of being within the city boundaries. That's creating a little bit of politics amongst some of the fans, and the original setup was to be within the city of Liverpool, but it looks like they've been granted a chance to draw up plans for a stadium on the former playing fields for Zachary. It looks like, yeah, maybe that is going to be their only way forward. They've looked at various sites. They're ground sharing at Bootle at the moment, and that as we know, that's never easy. And if it means that they can get their own ground, then surely they've got to go for it.
So, yes, all day long. You know, AFC Wimbledon, you know, the same thing, you know, moved out of Merton. And you're saying that this is over the road. You know, Merton's, off the top of my head, a couple of miles away from where the new, where Plough Lane was. But they took it, they moved into it, they ended up, they bought it, made it their own. They're still playing there now. And eventually, 10 to 13 years or whatever it is later, they're saying by the end of maybe next season, off the top of my head, they're back in a brand new stadium. So I would say to the City Liverpool FC people, you don't always get what you want exactly on the first time, but if you get yourself permission to build a new stadium and it's a stone's throw from where you'd like it to be, take it, because it gives you somewhere to start, gives you somewhere to move on, and you can make, if you want to, if it's your be all and end all to move across the road into the borough, and I'm not knocking you for that, that can come along at any time, but don't put your own club in jeopardy when you've got the chance of a new stadium. It's my opinion, you know. Go for it, hands down.
One last story we'll mention as well. Last week we mentioned the cut in the budget and coaching staff at Hungerford Town, but all's not well for the National South side. They're 5 points off relegation, and this week the club released defender Matt Williams and striker Luke Hopper because they requested the club to release them. And that's never a good sign, is it, Dave?
No, it's not a good sign. Is a massive understatement. It's alarm bells, the ship sinking sign. That's what it is. Players, I don't know the two lads individually. I would hope that they haven't taken the request lightly for making it, but it would tell me that there's massive problems. 5 points off relegation, there's a long, long way to go for to hang on to your status in National South if that's what's happening. So I would be, without knowing it, you know, Tim, I have a big mouth and I shout it off with very little of the exact information, and I'm aware of that. But I think that's what people sort of like, is opinions. We're all about opinions. And I absolutely fear for their nice North South status.
Well, let's move on to maybe a slightly happier story. This week saw the FA release some pretty pictures. A map of England and Wales with lines of demarcation suggesting the regions for the new 4 Step 3 and 7 Step 4 divisions we will be enjoying next season. Not set in stone, but a guide as to how the pyramid shake-up will be decided come the end of the season. Was it helpful? Let's see what Matt Badcock of the non-league paper thinks of it. Good evening, Matt.
Hi, Tim. Yeah, it looks, like you say, very nice, pretty pictures. It's, I guess, a little bit difficult to tell really how it's going to be until the season's finished, but this has obviously been something that's been in the FA plans for quite a while. They've been working on it for about 18 months, and it's nice to sort of get the boundaries, even like you say, there are any guidelines and it all could sort of change depending on where who goes up and who goes down, but it's nice to sort of get this idea now.
Yeah, it's nice to have some information before the end of the season for once, but without that real confirmation, it's a bit difficult. And looking at my own club, you know, Hayes and Yedding United, it looks like if we get promotion, we stay in the Southern League, and if we don't get promotion this year, then we might become an Isthmian League club again. So is it really more just a PR exercise than actually any real information there?
I think it's sort of something that they've been, they've, They're obviously aware that they don't want to put too much out because then lots of rumours start flying around, but they needed to give sort of clubs a bit of an idea where he could possibly be. And I think, like you say, that is the problem, that you can't really tell exactly what's going to happen until everything is sorted and done. And that can all change with the last kick of the ball and the final day of the season, can't it? But I think it's a good thing to sort of get it out, and it gives everyone an idea because everyone's been sort of talking about it and sort of, you know, it keeps rumbling on and on. So it's nice to have that little sort of insight into where it may be. I mean, you know, a lot of it's to be expected. At step three, we've already been told by the FA that sort of the additional division that the Southern League are going to run is going to stretch across sort of the central band of the country. I know people want to call it Midlands, but it's definitely not Midlands. It's a central, more of a central league. And it's just, I think it's a good thing. If it's a PR exercise, and I'm all for it. Gives us something to put in the paper, doesn't it?
it does. Is there any sort of insight as to what that league's going to be called? Is it got a sponsor? I know it's going to be administrated by the Southern League, but any indications yet from the FA as to a naming of it?
No, other than we've sort of just been very much told that it's a central league rather than a Midlands one. That step three one. I assume that it would go under the Southern League's Evo stick, and the additional Isthmian one at step four would go under Bostic, but I don't know just yet. Hopefully that will all sort of come out in the summer, I guess.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, Matt, is that what they're saying? They're sort of saying that it's going to be set in stone in the summer? Is this sort of the teases? And then we get here's exactly what's happening in the summer?
So it would be like normal when the club allocations come out as to what league. This has given clubs the idea. Obviously, there's a lot of border clubs, isn't there? As there always is. I mean, nothing's ever going to be perfect. There's always going to be those clubs on the outside. But because there's more clubs coming into the pyramid, and there's got to be clubs, there's extra clubs coming up from step five this year, then there's obviously the question marks over the likes of Thurrock and there's Ossett Albion and Ossett Town emerging, so that creates another vacancy. And so all this has to go into the melting pot in the summer, and then it will get released as it normally does. Provisional allocations, then something often changes, and then we get the final allocations a few weeks later. It's always like an ever moving landscape, isn't it? In this at this sort of time of year,
it is okay. Give me one big positive for it, and one big negative.
One big positive is, I think this has had to happen for a while. It needed to be looked at because the travelling and the cost of travelling was, you know, getting too much, especially in these times. You know, times have changed. There's an extra burden on volunteers at clubs, and some of the journeys they're having to do is ridiculous. I think we all know what it's like sitting in roadworks at 10 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock at night, trying to get home from games, and I think that's another thing that people forget. Or sitting on that M25 on a Saturday afternoon, wondering if you're gonna get to a game. So there's lots of things that needed to be looked at to ease that burden. I think that is gonna be a positive. And look into the future, the FA have said that they want to take it to a pure pyramid. So this is taking it to 1, 2, 4, 7 in divisions. They're gonna take it to 1, 2, 4, 8. So that's hopefully going to clear up this problem in the sort of with the northeast, because that's obviously still quite a big area. But they have said the big area that they've sort of released on the footprints that the FA put out the other day, that the Northern Premier League, that area is going to be split into two divisions as it obviously is now. But the Northern Premier League are going to talk about whether to do that north and south as they do now, or change that to east and west, because I sort of understand that sort of a lot of clubs find it difficult getting across the M62 sometimes, but it's all to help clubs, hopefully. I do think that, you know, nothing is ever going to be perfect. You know, we don't live in a square country, do we? So there's still going to be some journeys for clubs, but unfortunately it's kind of the way it is.
Negative?
The negative?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, your big negative.
Well, I suppose that is one that, you know, it's not going to be perfect. But, you know, that is the problem with, I think it has to be acceptance that you're going to have to travel in this, you know, the way the National League system is. But
you're never going to get it. I agree with you, Matt. I think somebody's always going to be unhappy about a about where the border sort of falls. Yeah. And for me, and I've been critical of the FA many, many times, at least they're trying to do something. At least they're in communication with people and they're trying to draw up something so we have an idea. So I think they need sort of patted on the back for that.
Yeah, I think it, like you say, it needed to be looked at. And some of the journeys, you know, step three are sort of crazy. You've got clubs in Suffolk going down to the south coast and things. And even at step four, you've got clubs making all sorts of crazy journeys. And unfortunately, there still will be clubs who have to make those sort of trips. And it's just sort of part of life as you sort of go up the pyramid. And, you know, there is that problem in the northeast that has been in the past, where not many clubs have come up from the Northern League. And that's understandable if they don't want to be overstretching themselves. And some of the travelling is ridiculous. And, you know, football is there to be enjoyed, isn't it? And if you enjoy playing in the league and getting home by a certain time, then great. But this is where this is going to slightly change, where promotion from step five is going to become mandatory. And I know that's sort of quite controversial for some leagues and some clubs. Some don't like it. And then there's others that do. And been told that the FA have been told that some step five leagues want two promotion spots rather than the one that it has been in the past, although this year it seems like the top two will all go up.
Yeah, we talk about the negatives, but you know, these are the people that we deal with on a daily basis, don't we? You know, the administrators of the FA, and I know you met with the guys the other week, Matt, that was featured in the paper. You know, and they are genuine fans of football, aren't they? They're trying to do the right thing, and I'm not really sure I want to be trying to make this decision, because you're never going to make it everybody happy, are you?
No, I think that it's sort of been good to us, FA, Lawrence Jones and Matt Edkins, who sort of worked on this, and Ray Lewis, chairman of the Leeds committee, sort of came and sat around the table with us, and it was nice to sort of sit there. And, you know, one of the questions was, you know, what do you like about non-league football? And, you know, you could see their passion coming through for it. And it is a difficult one, because they are going to be making decisions that people don't agree with. And, you know, we could all sit around the table and come up with probably five different ways each of how this could look. But, you know, they've looked at it and they've had their maps out and they've I know they've gone around and talked to lots of leagues and clubs and got lots of opinion. And I still think they're quite open to sort of, you know, what people will say now. And, this may slightly shift, I guess, if depending on who's where. But, you know, hopefully it's a step towards making life a bit better for clubs and saving money on travel and also the time as well, so it can keep people involved in the game. Because, you know, I think we're forgetting the burden that a lot of clubs, you know, volunteers, that their ones also have to sit on these coaches and in cars and get around the country, and volunteers aren't growing on trees, and it's a big issue that's probably facing non-league football. And hopefully if this sort of thing can sort of help that and keep people encouraged to be involved in the game and keep people encouraged to keep going out and watching football when there's so much else going on in life, but it can only be a good thing.
So I guess you'll be recreating those pretty maps for all to see in this weekend's paper, and with probably one or two games off. Is that some extra writing for you before the end of the week's out then, Matt?
Well, yeah, I'm surprised I was allowed to come on here and not step away from my computer. It sort of fills you with joy. I suppose the one good thing about this week is you actually know it's coming. It's when the snow falls on a Friday night and a Saturday morning, we're scrabbling around. But I feel like it's not been like this for a few years, really. I don't know what you guys think, but you don't feel like we've had sort of a complete programme wipeout, which it possibly could be this weekend. So these maps may be very, very large.
I want to see your little hand-drawn version as well then, Matt, as well.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us again, Matt. We'll let you go and get back to that. It must be an old-fashioned typewriter still, isn't it, you're working on?
Well, it feels like it sometimes. It takes a little while to get fired up. I think I need to speak to the boss about a new one.
We'll have a word as well. Thanks for joining us again, Matt. Take care. Speak soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy.
Cheers, mate.
See you, Matt.
Bye-bye.
As I said, Dave, it's a thankless task, really, isn't it? I mean, who'd want to try and keep everybody happy in football?
Well, it's the same. Listen, it's about, you pick a team as a manager, and if you went in the bar and asked 20 supporters to pick a team for the day, you know, they'd pick 15 different teams out of 20 of them. So it's a little bit of that stuff, and you have to, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to someone has to make a decision. The same as picking a team, all you hope for in it. And to be fair, I would be assured that they've put their homework into it and sort of gone about their business as best they can. And unfortunately, you're never going to please everyone, so they have to try and get a consensus. And it has to happen, because I think it's something that we've been asking about for a while, and go with it and see how it works out.
Okay, so top of the table in the National League has changed hands many times this season, but as the running begins to get real, one club appear to be getting settled and comfortable at the top once again. With 11 games to play, Macclesfield Town are 5 points clear and head to fifth place Boreham Wood on Saturday, weather permitting. And Macclesfield boss John Askey joins us on the line to explain what the mood in the camp is like. Good evening, John.
Good evening.
Now, less than a quarter of the season to go now. Do you look at the table, or do you just concentrate on what needs to be done for your boys?
You can't help but look at the table. But obviously we know that we've just got to keep going as we're doing, and just keep taking every game as it comes. And you just got to concentrate on the next game, and that's Boreham Wood. That's all you can do, really.
Yeah, it's interesting that you aren't up there with the top scorers nor the meanest defences, but what you have done is won more matches in the division than anybody else, and that's really what counts, isn't it?
It's the only thing that counts, isn't it? however you do it. As I say, we've played well. Majority games this season, we've played well, we've performed well, and obviously that's why we've got the points.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, no, great answer. It is the only thing that counts. But John, I mean, looking at the weather, you know, it's probably coming at a time that this sort of bad sort of snow and that, which looks like it could be here for a week or so, probably something that you don't want at this particular time of the season.
No, obviously we've got momentum. We just won our last four games. We've only lost, I think, one in 17. So no, you just want to keep going, keep your head down, and just keep ploughing on, but obviously, this weather's, I can't see the game being on Saturday. But we've got Maidstone on the Tuesday, who have got a 4G pitch. So I would have thought there's a good chance of that being on.
Yeah, and that sort of, so you will prepare for Boreham Wood until you're told not to, or, you know, it just becomes a little bit where everything isn't set in stone for yourselves. And then obviously it becomes a rearranged fixture. You know, it's all that sort of syndrome. But I do think, John, that it's not going to be one of them where you don't play and everyone else does, which can affect how you look upon it. At least the whole place is going to be wiped out, it looks like.
That's right. I think most games are going to get called out. I think the hardest part is not being able to train properly, because of everywhere it's like it is here. And I think we've done quite well with the weather. It means we've had to go inside and train. So it does have an effect, but I think the position we're in, then, you know, our players are in such a good frame of mind that I don't think it will affect them too much.
Yeah, and I suppose, John, the positives are any niggly injuries and stuff like that with key players, you can sort of let them have their rest up until, you know, with the game off and that.
That's right. You know, 11 games to go now. Get a bit of a rest and regroup and go again, because we haven't got the youngest team in the league. You know, we've got one or two in the 30s. So it will. It could help. But we'll only know when we get back playing again.
Sure. And last one for me, which is probably one that you're going to swerve anyway. 11 games to go. Have you got a target of how many points you'll want to take out of those games?
No, I don't set targets. I think our target is just to win the next game, and then everything takes care of itself. We just got to, as we said all season, put everything into the next game, and I think you probably agree with that.
Yeah, no, I do, absolutely, man. I wish you well with it.
And John, you obviously won the conference title as it was back then as a player, and with over 400 appearances, I think, for the club and involvement, yeah, for more years than you probably can even remember. Yeah, what would it mean to get that club back promoted into the Football League?
It would mean a great deal. Obviously, we, as has been well publicised, we've got the lowest budget in the league, so to do that would be, you know, a fantastic achievement, but it means more, obviously. I've been at the club for 34 years. I've won four promotions with them, but this would be my biggest achievement if we could get in the Football League from the position that we're in.
And have they measured you up for that bronze statue then already?
Yeah, no, it's a, the only thing that matters to me is winning something. And if we can do that, then I've said to the players, I said it's not about money, because money you have and it comes and it goes, but when you win things, that stays with you, and that's the aim.
And obviously, at the end of last month, there was the issue with the late payment of wages. But, you know, the major shareholder, Amar Akkadi, put his hands up, and it looks like everything's okay now. Is the club ready off the field as well to make that step up?
No, because as I say, we've got the lowest budget. No, you can't carry on like that. There needs investment into the football club, and we're not getting that at all. Every month is a problem when we come to pay the wages. I think over the last 3 years or so, the playing staff have been paid on time majority of the time, but staff haven't always been paid on time. So the needs changes, but the first thing to do is to get promoted, and if we do that, then we'll obviously, things will have to be looked at.
John, sorry to come back in again, but that must surprise you with the job that you're doing, and you know that it's a recognised football club, that someone wouldn't come in with a little bit more sort of finance.
Well, it's controlled by the owner, and I think people are willing to put money in, but I think while one man controls it, then they don't do so. You know, it's been tough now since we dropped out of the Football League, and it seems to get harder, not easier. But all we can do is perform on the football pitch and let everything else take care of itself. But it is difficult.
And looking ahead, then. To the weekend, if the game's off, do you then sort of get the players in and spend some extra bonding time over the weekend, or do they get a weekend off to build snowmen?
No, we've got to train. We've got a game on Tuesday, so it's too important to us now. We've got to make sure we do everything right, and the hardest part is finding somewhere to train because of the weather, but. I'm sure we'll be able to do that, and just keep working hard, and hopefully get where we want to be.
Well, it's been great talking to you as ever, John. We really do appreciate you coming on and chatting to us, because it sounds like you've got a very tough task ahead of you, but you're coping very, very well with it. So we wish you well for the rest of the season, and hopefully in a few weeks' time we'll be talking about your move back into the Football League.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Yep.
Thanks again for your time. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. Good luck,
Dave. We spoke earlier about football clubs and, you know, difficulty to concentrate about, you know, knowing where the future of their club's going. Sounded like a man with a few things he's just trying to put behind him so we can concentrate on the football field there.
Yeah, he's a very experienced man. He is calm. I love people to be in the position he's in and come across as calm as he does, but there was a strange end to it. You know, it was a strange end of the conversation as to what he said about the owner. You know, I suppose he's got to protect himself in, to a degree in what he wants to say, but it didn't come across as harmonious.
Didn't sound like they're going out for dinner together at the weekend.
No, and we might be wrong with that. But listen, the way he's talking, is his focus is within the dressing room and on the pitch, and it looks like he's got his group of players. The smallest budget in the league, did he say? You know, is that,
yeah.
That will, if that's correct, then that is incredible. That'd be some achievement, even if it's in the bottom six or seven budgets in the division. That would be absolutely incredible. But you know, I'd love them to do it. Listen, there's a lot of people up there I like, but I just like the story of small budget. The only thing is, I feel a little bit like I want to find out more about the owner to see if he deserves to have a title put in his lap, you know.
Well, it's interesting. We spoke to Matt Badcock earlier, and he was talking about those Step 5 clubs and the mandatory promotion that comes with being in the pyramid now. And you know, they're looking then at the top of the National League, and like we spoke to Paul Doswell the other week, and the issues that they may have to rip up their 3G pitch. Similarly, if Bromley were to get there via the playoffs, and then you've got Macclesfield, who are top and now 5 points clear, and it sounds, you know, like the club probably isn't ready financially, certainly, to make that step up into the Football League. So is that something else that the football authorities need to look at? And, you know, should there be a different criteria for promotion rather than just, you know, being the best club there? I know when you were at Hendon, you know, you had to take on in the face that very difficult decision of not taking promotion.
Yeah. No, I think that's the right thing, that it should be, you know, everyone that's involved in a division should take promotion if they get it. I think it makes for just flows better. It makes it more real for me. I think when people start turning down promotions, it becomes a little bit Mickey Mouse for whatever reason, you know, genuine reasons, but it just becomes a little bit Mickey Mouse for me. And as for promotion being anything other than finishing in the position that gets you promotion through football, then I can't see that other team. You know, that doesn't work with me. I think it should be about the dressing room and the football pitch promotions. How you're financed to do that's down to each individual club. We always pray that they only spend what they can afford to spend. Maybe that needs to be a little bit clear and transparent, and they're trying to do that. But for me, if you've finished in a promotion spot, you should go up.
For clubs competing in Step 5 this season, success at the top had a bigger prize than ever. The restructuring with new divisions in at Steps 3 and 4 means 26 sides from the 14 divisions will be promoted into Step 4 for next season. One club pushing for promotion in the combined counties Premier Division is Westfield FC, currently topping the division by 12 points, having lost just twice in 30 league games. They've netted 111 goals. Joining us on the line to tell us more about his club and the season so far is manager Tony Reid. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, guys.
Hi, Tom.
Now, for those that don't know, you play in Woke in Surrey, and it's a pretty well-formed ground with up-to-date facilities, and you're literally in the shadow of Woking FC of the National League. I think you can even see their stand from your ground if you stand in the corner. Does that help or hinder in terms of getting media coverage and players in it, etc.?
Coming from a small club, basically to the likes of Woking, you would say so. You know, obviously they're trying to do a lot at this moment in time to, you know, get sponsors, you know, attract the younger crowd, you know, and for definitely more supporters. But you know, it is what it is at this moment in time. We're just trying to crack on and do what we can do.
Now, I mentioned about the pretty well-formed ground. It looks really good compared to... does that make it difficult when you're playing at this level? Do other people like coming to play at your ground?
Yes, but we've made it a fortress. You know, we've tried to do what's best. You know, we worked ever so hard last season, trying to get the ground, you know, in good condition. You know, again, when people come to our ground, don't get me wrong, it as you said, it does have the nice state of art, the facilities, 3G, nice surroundings, you know, so it's all the best when people do come there. So we try and make it our fortress to make it as hard as possible for other teams not to enjoy themselves there.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, Tone, I mean, I'm going to jump the gun here because you're 12 points clear. I'm thinking even I couldn't mess that up, you know. So I'm going to say you're going to get promotion. And I'm also going to predict if you keep the group of players together that you have, you would be comfortable in the division above. How far ahead are you looking? Don't tell me the next game, Tony. How far ahead are you looking?
Took the words right out of my mouth. obviously, I am building for next season. I think when you get to this stage that you're, you know, there's been loads of players, rumours, you know, that you wanna be successful in a league above. Obviously, I've been there, I've seen it, done it as a player as well. And basically, for me, I've already started talks, you know, meetings with my committee, my backroom team as well, who we're going to target, who we're looking to, you know, to recruit. We don't need to do like a major overhaul recruitment. You know, the players I've got so far has got me there. I think are good enough and well equipped to step up a league. You know, one or two have been, you know, watched by pro clubs and divisions higher than ourselves. You know, going from Premier to Conference. So I take that as an ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
But I think for the time being now, it is about, okay, then, yes, winning the league will be fantastic. I'll wait till, you know, we've actually crossed that line. But in the same breath, I'm looking to build as well.
And the club with you, Tony, because obviously the higher you go, well, you'll know this, the higher you go, then the more finances you need to have available to compete. I mean, I'm just looking at, I mean, I don't know an awful lot about your side, but I'm looking at the stats. The stats tell me that take the team in the next division as it stands, and you're certainly not going to be in any trouble, you know. But financially, are the club looking to go forward as well?
I think that's going to be ongoing conversations with the club. You know, I think if I'm looking at when I first went to the club...
How long ago was that, Tony? Sorry to interrupt you.
This will be my second season. I joined last year, I believe, was it April when I first took over? So,
yeah, so
this is my second full season, yeah.
So you've turned it around quickly, you know. So realistically, if I'm on their committee, I'm going, we need to try and, you know, keep this guy happy because he's doing a reasonable job.
Yeah, I think when I first took over, question marks of who I was, you know, didn't really help me. I was recommended by Roger Stair, who tried to sign me as a player 3 times. And, you know, I'm always been a confident guy. You know, I know what my expectation is, what my limits are, and what I want to achieve as a personal goal. And taking them first from bottom to probably 10th, and then a following season, you know, taking them second and winning the league, again, started raising eyebrows. And so far, you know, we've been on top of the league, you know, since day dot this year, you know. And I think it's for the club itself, being such a small club, they're running at 100 miles an hour, fair play to them. You know, they're trying to keep me happy, as well as trying to do things, you know, to make sure, you know, everything runs smoothly to go up as well. But nevertheless, to say, when it comes to finances, you know, when you don't have, you know, the likes of, you know, a big board and a load of people with a load of money, it becomes extremely difficult. Saying that, you know, a lot of people think where I'm sitting, I have the biggest budget. I did say to people, I can't wait till the season's finished, because I'll probably be honest and tell them, you know, budget is not a budget, it's just merely expenses I'm paying players. you know, some of them who are travelling don't even cover the cost to travel to the club. So again, it's going to be a great load of work for next season, trying to get, you know, good committee people, good people on board, you know, trying to find good sponsors, you know, and trying to market it as well, you know. But as you know yourself, Dave, success brings, you know, a load of wanted attention as well, which will be good for us.
It does, yeah. Yeah, no, it does. And, you know, I wish well. I mean, just your own history, Tony, you know, like Kingstoney and Lewis, you know, they're sides that have been a little bit up and down of late, you know, and I'm sure you keep your eye on stuff, but they would also now start to keep an eye on you. You know, if it's a natural reaction for clubs to go and look at ex-players when they're looking for new up-and-coming managers. And I don't want to take you away from Westfield, and if anybody from Westfield listens, I'm only posing the question, but is obviously it must be in your makeup to be successful. And, you know, when you eventually do leave Westfield, Kingstoney and Lewis be somewhere that would be close to your heart?
Most definitely. Obviously, you know, when I go back to my playing career, I was Kingstoney for 5 years. Again, one of my fondest memories, Kingstonians, you know, worked with some good lads there, good management team. You know, we had a successful season, i.e. winning the Surrey Senior Cup.
All right, we're not going to... Yeah. Can we stop that interview now? beat us to beat Wimbledon, didn't you? Yeah. I remember you beat us at Woking, funny enough, wasn't it?
It was at Woking, funny enough. Yes, it was. Yeah,
I must put in, I'd won it the year before, though, so, you know, that's fine. But Tony, yes, I do remember it well, mate, yeah.
Lewis, again, gave me a great opportunity. You know, I think that probably built part of my career, you know, being a leading marksman, you know, during that league. I had a fantastic season there. Yes, it would be great to be interested, but I think, like I said, you know, when you're being at the top and being successful, you know, you are going to draw attention. But at this moment in time, I'm quite a loyal to football clubs, as you know. I think I've built something with Westfield. Going up another level will be just something for me to build on even more. You know, not to say you never turn a blind eye to interest, because you always want to be successful and strive for higher, but why can't I do it with Westfield?
Yeah, no, exactly, Matt.
And I mentioned about those goals at the start of the interview there, Tony. Yeah, I think Max Blackmore, he's sort of your leading scorer, but you seem to be getting goals from everywhere as well. You know, Aaron Watson, I think, scored plenty from midfield as well. Is it just the attacking way that you're playing this season?
Yes, it is. What we worked on ever so hard towards the end of last season. And during this season is, you know, expecting to know where that ball drops. Don't want to give too much away to oppositions, but I tried to calculate in an attacking position, you know, where that ball's going to drop. And I worked tireless with the front. As a striker, you work endless with strikers as well to teach them, you know, to react to the second ball, to the loose balls and everything. And as well as expressing themselves in the final third, which they do, you know, I do give them that license, you know, to go and do what they need to do in the final third. You know, obviously, you know, we look at the attacking options, but again, you can't just win games just with attacks. You've got to be resolute at the back as well. So again, trying to contribute all over the park, you can't rely on the likes of Max Blackmore and Watson, you know, let's say, for example, touching wood, they weren't available, where would the goals come from? So we try and dish it out all over the park. You know, we try and contribute from the back line, you know, trying to get a certain amount of goals themselves. Midfield, can they contribute as well? As you know, the forwards. So we try and even up a little bit to take the pressure off the front three, or the four, should I say.
And we've mentioned already the show about the weather maybe hitting the calendar hard this weekend. But yeah, I think you've got a local derby this weekend as well. Yours might be one of the only games on. Should we get a bumper crowd down to watch you against Wharton and Hersham this weekend?
I would love to, but unfortunately we're not on a 3G. We're going to be at home, so that's on grass, unfortunately. Yeah. So looking at the weather forecast, you know, it could be 50-50 if it falls out. You know, I do know, like, the club committee there at the moment, the likes of Michael Powell, who's taken over the deeds, you know, speaking to the council to try and get the pitch, you know, in tip-top conditions and playable as well. He takes the time out on Saturdays and Fridays to go and fork the pitch and do what he can do. And no doubt he probably wants to get the game on, but, you know, circumstances with the weather like how it is, you know, it's not just for football. It's when it snows or when it rains, the whole UK comes to a standstill. But it's a game that I would love to play, you know, without a doubt. But if not, then it just gives me more time to, you know, prepare the boys. You know, we do something slightly different. You know, it's not all about getting them to run and play football. We try and enjoy it, you know, try and get them to have saunas, relaxations, you know, and I try and condition their bodies as well.
That's a step five. Thinking like a Premier League manager. That's what I like to hear. We wish you well this weekend in getting the game on, and then for the rest of the season. And I'm sure we'll speak to you if not this season, then next season again, Tony. And we really appreciate your
time. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck, son.
And Dave, nice to speak to you again, mate.
And you, mate. Good luck, son.
Dave, another hour of non-league frivolity and lots of information. I've learned a lot. Have you learned some things this evening as well?
Every day's a school day. You know that, Tim.
Well, every day's a school day, which means that we need an early night. So,
means we've probably got a snow day tomorrow, haven't we?
If only in the grown-up world, life's not that easy.
Yeah,
thanks once again, Dave. Thanks to all our guests, for everybody that was listening. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and you can put the podcast on your own website by checking out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com for an embeddable player. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA